I know him, and I know what he's doing, and I know that song. It's part of me. It's part of my life. And man, I hope that you know God like that, where one day you say, man, they're singing about my God. They're talking about my Jesus. And I don't know if there's a girl. I just got to share this tonight. I feel like the Lord wants me to share it tonight. Not planned, but Randy, you told me yesterday there was a young lady who come to know Christ, and she got her baptism, and she hung it up in her locker, and people in the school was calling her Jesus freak, and she was standing strong. And is she here? Who is that? Who was that? Jeanette, that's you, isn't it? I want to tell you, you keep doing what you're doing. You never be ashamed of Jesus. Nah, that's just amazing. Just you're so proud of your baptismal certificate. You put it in your locker at school. Yeah. I wish I was that strong when I was in school. You keep it up. 15 years. Amen. 15 years.
Yep.
We've been at it. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know what he's done so far in 15 years. Not sure where we're going to head for in the future, but I know what Scripture says. Where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. So it sounds like he's going to be a part of New Life if we stay and continue to be a part of him. I do know that. But I'm excited to be able to say that in the 15 years, we're still here. There's so many churches that have started and closed their doors in the first couple of years, and they just didn't get off the ground. There's so many ministries that started and they've closed them down. There's so much that they felt the Lord had called them to, and maybe the Lord did, but they walked away from it because it got too hard. And there's so many closed doors. But so far, this is still going on in 15 years. 15 years. I had, yeah. Mm-hmm. 15 years, and I had no gray hair 15 years ago. None. I had none. I had zero. But 15 years later, I got a little bit. 15 years ago, I was learning how to preach. I'm still learning how to preach. I think I'm just a little bit better than I was the first time preaching 15 years ago, but God has been patient with me. I think I shared this one time before. This is the most embarrassing moment as preaching. Now, if I can throw, I'm going to cast all my humility out, okay? All my humbleness. I got up there on State Street. Can you believe that? I don't know, TB. You've been in there for a long time. Has this ever happened to you? I get up there and I preach, and I get done, and a lady comes up to me and says, "Jimmy, do you know you have two different shoes on?" I had one pair. I had some wingtips over here, and I had some regular, like I'm wearing tonight. And I get you. So you get nervous when you're going to get up there and stand, because it's just. I went home and I said, I don't ever want to go back. Did anybody else see that? And God allows you to make those mistakes because he has some humor. But I remember some of those days just tripping over the cords. And maybe I still do that from time to time. But it's just the things of just growing up as a preacher, a pastor, and learning that some people say things that kind of hurt your feelings. But you know, you get through those things, and then you got to be careful because that your heart doesn't get hard because you say hard things to other people, and you can hurt some of your congregation. And so you're learning how to be a family. And so I hope I've been a decent pastor for you. I hope my family is trying to live the best example. We're not perfect, but I want to tell you, I would not want to be. I don't care. And I know somebody asked me to even go down to Sunnycrest to put my name in there. Their team asked me. And I thought about it for about 30 seconds, made a couple phone calls. You know what? God didn't call me there. God called me here. God called me here. I feel like I'm in the right place. And sometimes some things feel a little odd and different. And sometimes I wrestle with some things. But that's okay. If you're doing what God's called you to do, it's going to get rough a few times. You're going to have to make some decisions once in a while.
Right. Come on.
And we're going to talk about that tonight. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn over to Numbers chapter 14. Just for a minute. And I'm going to help you tonight understand a little bit about what's going on. God's people, you know, we could say it all really started at a fire pit, at a fireplace, where Moses was talking with the Lord. The Lord called Moses over, and he gave him a vision and mission that God wanted him. You'll be my people, take them to a promised land. And through all the stuff that they went through, the sea, they crossed over that, they went through that part where they really got mixed up, they had some people, and they began to make this golden calf, and all those things happened, and it just became a mess. But they came to the point where they come to the promised land. It was time for decision. You see, a lot of churches, a lot of people will come to a point where they're really good about knowing how to make a plan. They know how to put it on a poster board. They know how to put it on the screen, but they can't put their hands to the plow. They get scared. They get nervous. They try to look and see what they can do in themselves, but not what they can do in the Lord. And what happens is God says they send out these 12 spies and they come back. And there's two of them, Joshua and Caleb, and they came back and they gave a different report than the other 10. They said, we can do this thing. They saw giants. They saw how big the giants were. But they came back and they said, you know what? We can do this thing. I want to tell you, it isn't always what people say. It's about what God has to say. And so here's what happens. Everybody is all upset. And God says, you know what? My vision's going to happen with you or without you. But this is what God says here in verse 24. I want to pray because I'm all over the place in my brain right now and I need to focus. So Father, Lord, I thank you tonight. Just being the wonderful God that you are, taking those of lowly places and lifting them up to do your work. Lord, I am one of them, and I thank you tonight. I thank you for these 15 years. Father, tonight, as we break into your word, I pray for your spirit to be upon us tonight, as it already is, but give us the ears to hear what you have us tonight. Father, I know tonight you want us because we are living in the woods, as I've learned, and you know, sometimes you've showed us through some people telling me that maybe we not know what the beautiful tree line looks like. But Father, tonight, I think you want to reveal to this group of people how big you really are. How close you've been to new life. How your hand has been all over new life, yet most of us don't even see it. And if we do, we don't even want to recognize it. But Father, tonight, you're going to reveal yourself in a fresh way. May we be able to take it in. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what the Father says about Caleb. Here's what he says. He's got, you know, sometimes when we got things going on in our life, we always want to look at the negative. We always want to look at the negative. I want to tell you what God had to say about a man named Caleb. He says, this is what's going to happen. God says, all you people out there, you're not going to go into the promised land. That's it. Zip them over. You just rebellious. But God says, but because my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit. You see, tonight, there are some of us that are we in a common bond with a spirit that has Jesus all over it. But there's some of us that have a different spirit on the other side. We're not sure who Jesus is yet. We're not sure if we're lost yet. We're just kind of checking it out, seeing it out. But some of us are still lost. Some of us are not trying to get where we need to go. And he says, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit following me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Now, I want to tell you right there, that was a promise to Caleb. God said he will get in, and his descendants will inherit it. Man, it was going to happen, and you know what? It did happen. It did happen. But I want to tell you that there was a journey. There was a journey. And, you know, anytime you go on a journey like this, you're going to start off with the faces are all going to look great. They're standing there. All the faces. Everybody's got a different face, different name. But at the end of that journey, some of those names and faces are going to change. Some of them are going to quit on you. And we've had some that quit. I would never leave a church where I knew God was working. He called me there. We got some people that should be here tonight celebrating. But they found out last night the football game was more important. That's all right. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And what we see here, we've lost some, not only to quitting, but we've lost some because life happens and they've had to move. We understand that. But I also know there's been some warriors that have been part of this church for 15 years. And they're no longer with us. But I want to tell you, some of them have nailed nails in the churches and had put in lots of funds and have taught classes and gave good counsel, sang beautiful songs before the Lord. And I want to read off the name, because the Bible mentions names, and sometimes we go over those names, and sometimes we need to stop and read those names. You may not know who they are, but God says they're important. I want them in my Bible. I want them in my book. Tonight I'm just going to read a few names. And some of these names, these people are no longer with us because they died on the journey. But they help us to get to where we are today. You may know some of these names, some of them you don't, because I'm going to start from the beginning to the one that died the most recent. You had to start from the very, very beginning to know a Mr. Dean Sharp. Carla's mother, Peggy Robertson. Great in church camps. Cancer, working church camp. Loretta Thorne. I miss her smile. Justine Posit. Jason Boyce. Missy Baker. Mike Myers, Betty Prather. We borrowed a baptism. I got to stop. We borrowed a baptism, and it was freezing cold. And I said, "My goodness!" We bought it from Huntington, and it was so cold. And I put my finger in it. I went over to the side. And I said, "You guys, it is ice cold. We can do this another time." She said, "Nope, not me, preacher. Not me. I've been waiting all my life." She's an elderly lady. "You baptizing me today?" So I got in that water and I baptized her. I couldn't even read the scriptures. My mouth was shaking. Betty Prather, her husband Sid. Across the street, people said he's a hard man. And today I was preaching and I said, and I just stopped. I said, "Sid, today, if you don't know Jesus, today is your day." Right in the middle of preaching. And he accepted Christ that day. 23-year-old Andrew Geringer. Cade Abbott, 18 years old. Dolores Myers, Donnie Jones, and my father, Jim Staten. They all were in good standing. But they're not with us today. But they're here. So we press on. They celebrate with us tonight. Joshua tells the boys when they go into Jericho and they go in and they begin to fight some battles. He said, "Here's your land, here's your land." And then he says, "Here's your land, here's your land. And here's what's happening." He said, "Now, wait a minute. You can't just run off to your land. We still got more to do, because here's what it is. You got to fight for your brother in another tribe. And you're going to fight for your brother in that tribe. We're going to fight together. We don't come in here and just run to our own land. We got to come in here and we're going to take it together." That's right. We don't pick something and love it more than we do something else. You may be gifted in something, but we ought to love each other the same. And so he gets to the point where they're really getting it going. They're really getting it going, and they are tearing down, and they're really taking over the land, and some things happen. Caleb takes his boys, his guys, and he comes up to Joshua. And he says, "Joshua, hold on, you and me's going to have a chat." He says, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God? You know what he said about you and me?" Now, what he's doing is reaching back, way back. And I want to tell you, you remember your testimonies. He said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to explore the land. And I brought back him a good report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land of which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 more years. He's 85. What He's asking for is He wants the key. I want to show you something tonight. Phil, will you fix this for me? Is this on? It's on. Is it on? Hey, I just can't see it. I thought I'd be over there. I want to tell you that first thing He had to do was go into the land and come back and be committed to what He said He was going to do. So every time Joshua went in, they kept taking over different lands. Now the ones that said they couldn't do it, guess what? They went out into the desert and God says, we can't have them. They're going to just, I'm going to give them clothes. It's not going to wear out. I'm still going to love on them. I'm still going to bless them. But they don't get to go in. They're not going to get one of these. You see, down in, I had my burning bush moment down in the southern part of Atlanta in this bad hotel, and God just met me there. I didn't sleep that night. He said, this is what I want, Jimmy. I want you to go back, and I want you to start a women's shelter, a women with children. So I want you to take care of babies that can't take care of themselves. I want you to do all these things. I want you to do a men's shelter. I want you to feed people. I want you to do all these things. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. He says, I know you can't. I said, we can't afford that. He said, I know you can't, but I can. And I came back, and I was all over the place. I didn't know what to think. So I took a group of about four couples, and we went on down, and we saw what it would look like to do all that. Then we came back, and they gave a report. Hey, we can do it, we can do it. But as time goes, some of those fall away. I mean, God begins to entrust you with things if you do it His way. And this is what He said. This is what He did. He says, new life. I'm going to give you a key to a church. You're no longer going to rent. Well, it wasn't long, then He turns around and He says, and He does something else. You see, when you become faithful, you try to be faithful, the Lord just keeps giving you more. He says, now I told you that I was going and I called you to start serving people and start giving them a meal. But I want to tell you that He wasn't just wanting us to get a meal and give physical food. He also wanted us to give spiritual food. Now I know tonight, some of you tonight are recipient and the outcome of that key. You come because you've come to new life and the door you came through was through the soup kitchen. Is that right? Is that right, ladies? Right there. You got something right there. We got something right there tonight. And you become faithful with what God gives you. And some people still said, how can you afford it? How do you do this? We can't do it. And here's what happens right now. We've given more keys to that building to churches bigger than us. We rented our first building. The first time we put it in the church and we had one person come up and a meal. Somebody said, well, what are we going to do tomorrow night with all this food? Serve it again. We'll be open again. Who's going to come? I don't know who's going to come. But you do what God called you to do and you let Him have and worry about the outcome. And this is what happens. We end up renting a place. We say, we got to get amongst the people. And the next thing you know, we have a building that's paid for. $32,500, and within 13 months it was paid for. God was taking money out of people that I didn't even know, bringing money. And people, there was a couple down in southern Indiana I never met, sent $10,000, just heard about it. I think Bob rolled up, somebody stopped him, another $10,000. Man, God just said, he's keeping His promise. And he watched, and God watched, and said, it's been open every night. It's been open every night. rain, snowstorms. They don't have any money. I'm going to watch what they do when they don't have money. Hey, they're praying. Are they stressing? Are they running to places they should? No. They're praying. You know what God does? And with that building, we get an upstairs building. We call it the Mission House. I don't know if I got to use the focus. The Mission House. I'll move it in a minute. One of you guys should help me. Well, the Mission House is a place where we are. You all will be there tonight. You all will be there tonight. Right now, we got more keys than most churches. And I ain't boasting on me, because the Bible says don't boast in yourself. Boast when you boast in the Lord. We're boasting on Him tonight. He gave us another key. It don't make sense that He's given us another key. He said, now I want to be able to give you a place that you can house mission. I'm going to send missionaries to you. You're taking them, and I want to, oh, you take care of your missionaries. Here it is. Here it is. Another key. And you become faithful. Now, these aren't all in order. I just pick them out. And I don't understand why God keeps giving us more. It makes sense to pick the big church, doesn't it? They got the money. They got the people. They got all the materials that you need. But it was when we got the next key. I love all the ministries. I do. I was so excited when we got the mill ministry. Man, Scott knows how we were. We just walked out and praised the Lord. The night it was open, January 15th. I'll never forget it. January 15th, 2007. But when we got this key, there were tears shed over this key. God says, now I'm going to give you a key not to fill those who are hungry. But I'm going to give you the key of brokenness. To the brokenness of women in your community. You don't get it because you want it. You get it because God's been watching. God doesn't entrust things with people He don't entrust with. God doesn't give things to people He don't trust. And God says, I'm going to give New Life another key. That church, that house cost us $23,000. And we had $22,000 in the bank set aside for that. And where all that came from, we don't have time for that, but I'm going to tell you, it's a God thing. And here's what happened. We took it and we began to revamp it. And I figured, this is going to be the test of the church right here. We're going to be bringing women in that are alcoholics, drug users, brokenness. And I want to know, does this church love them? And I think we still struggle with some of that, folks. I think we still struggle with some of that. But God has entrusted us with another key. Now, I can do this. There's some ladies here tonight that has come to know Christ through the ministry. There were some ladies that came last night to the revival and the night before that's not even in our program anymore, but they came because they were in our program. It's not just a key to help them physically, but it's a key to help them spiritually. And God says, He looks around and He's entrusted this church. This church. He is all over the place. His hands is everywhere. His eyes are here. He is here, and you need to wake up and see that He is doing a great work. Quit looking for the place with the best music. Quit looking for the place with the biggest parking lot and start looking to where God is working. He is working. He is busy. And He's faithful. He's faithful. Then God says, I wrestled. I said, Lord, New Life is not growing. physically. It's not growing. What's going on? I think we should be at 150 every Sunday. I'm not saying we'll never get there, but I know. Listen, people don't like to work in churches. But I would rather be in front of the gates of hell with a rescue mission than standing down there listening to the church bells all day long. I want to be there with helping people, stopping them, at least ministering to them before they enter into the gates of hell. It isn't about the country club. It isn't about what the church can do for your kids. It's about how you can train your kids up and how to serve in the church. Because people are dying and going to hell. And God is looking at New Life and saying, looking at New Life, and He says, listen, I want that spirit going to Fort Wayne. And so now He gives us a key. Now, we had a key building. We had a key to a building. Now we're in a park, but we're going to get a key. And God's given us a key to the city of Fort Wayne. He gave us a key to the city of Fort Wayne. They're going to do the same ministries we do? No, but there's going to be a ministry there. I see it. I'm working with that campus pastor. Did I do that? Did I do that? Who did it? Okay. All right. And now we have a place that God has given us a key to, nothing I ever wanted to have in my life. I didn't want to be part of the thrift store at all. But we have it, and God's given it to us, and we're working that out. And so we get to take our stuff, and we get to work on that. And so we get that. So we have a thrift store. We're not asking for a thrift store, but He gave us that. Dealing with a conversation with Bob, the Lord just said, back to what I said about being able to get up there and Lord, why are we not growing? It just comes to that point that I felt Him saying in my heart that He said, Jimmy, New Life's going to grow, but it's going to grow by multi-site. And I'm like, oh, what? Multi-site? How are we going to multi-site? Well, here we are. New Life is one church, different locations. And now we have one also in Columbia City, Pastor Bob. It was Pastor Bob. Can you see the keys are piling? Where much is given, much is required. But where much has been, and now TB, I'm not tired. I'm not tired of this. I'm not tired of this. But I did say, Lord, I can't keep up as being Pastor Huntington and do all this stuff. Lord, you got to send me somebody. And I said, Lord, somebody mentioned me. I think Greg Bimas says, well, why don't you just call TB? That would be a hoot. And I'm like, yeah, right. And I go down the road to the highway, and God says, get on the phone and call TB. And He is here. Yeah. And here's what I say for both of us, even though I'm not as old as you, brother, but this is what I say because I fit right in there. This is what Caleb said. He says, so here I am today, 85. He's telling Joshua, he says, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm not tired yet. He said, I'm just as vigorous to go out into battle now as I was then. I'm telling you, Caleb says, come on, send me. I want my land. I've done all the work I was supposed to do. I've kept that same positive spirit in the Lord. And here it is. There's my mountain. It's filled with giants. But I've already seen God strike down the giants. They ain't nothing to me. And He goes up and He takes it. And we falter on one giant in our life. Pastor's wife done said something to me and hurt my feelings. Pastor Jimmy done said something that hurt my feelings. And I want to say this not in a bad way. I'll say, boo-hoo, get up, pull your britches up, and get out there and start digging. Get out there in the field with the rest of us and we'll get this thing done and we'll keep moving on. He says, now give me this hill and the country and that the Lord promised me that day. And I want to tell you, here's what it is. Here's what it is. He started right and he finished right. And when he did the 80, he did those years, he come up to the part and he says, now it's time for me, for my part. And I want to tell you, he was there and he gets it. You yourself heard then that the Amalekites were there and their cities were large, fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Just as he said, then Joshua blessed Caleb. I want to tell you tonight. I got a set of keys in my hand. I wasn't sure we were ever going to get there. Not finished yet. I'm going to ask you if you're ready. Are you ready for little snotty-nosed kids running around saying the F word? You ready for little snotty-nosed kids come up kick you in your legs? Because here's the deal. You come in our ministry, in our women's shelter, and the women's children's shelter, you got to go to church. You got to go to church. We paying the bill. You got to go to church. Because my thing is, ladies, if your way isn't working, what is it? You know it, right? If your way was working, what? You wouldn't be there. I want to tell you something. Those ladies are more faithful than most of us are. They're here every Sunday morning, Sunday school class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship. They got more Bible studies than you got Wednesday night. Because if he ain't where they're supposed to be, guess what? There's going to be a talking. But God says, and it's all praise to God, but New Life has been faithful. And I'm seeing everybody, but New Life in general has been faithful. And God says, listen, I'm going to give you, will you go with me just a little bit further? And he said, I'm going to give you another key. We signed papers for a loan for it for $12,000. God says, not my house. He says, I want that house to be no loan for $50. You don't get that overnight. You don't get this overnight. You can't buy this. You can't buy that. Now I wonder why God chose this church. When he can look across, what he's looking for is men and women with a Holy Spirit in them, allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of them and to move, and people that will say, listen, I'll go. Even if it's just me, I will go. People that want to serve. We are key holders. Did you know that? We are key holders. I don't know if you get that responsibility. Let me tell you a little bit about the responsibility. Because responsibility comes with these keys. 6 electric bills that's got to be paid every month. And you think, well, I don't know if I need to give any more to the church. 4 gas bills. Phone bills. City utility bills. And every key comes with more responsibility. And it comes with more finances. This church, we do these the best that we can. And people in other ministries say, how can you guys do them so cheap? That's the first question. How can you guys do it so cheap? Because they'll ask me about the budget. And then they'll say, how in the world do you pay with the church your size? And guess what we get to do? We get to boast on Jesus. That's why he didn't give it to the big church. We get to boast on Jesus. I called someone else who and the people that we went to go see, nothing against him. But he said, Jimmy, you need to do... I said, how did you fund it? He said, well, it's all about God. And he told me about all these grants and grants and grants. And I said, you know what? Financially, grants, I don't think we've ever got any financial grants. We got one to buy a couple stoves, I think. A couple computers, that's it. Because what it is, it's all about boasting in Him. And I'll tell you what, you get on His plan and you get on His train, I'm telling you, you will see God move. And some of you haven't seen God move in your life because you're on your own plan and not on His plan. You want to see God move, you start giving your life up to Him and say, Lord, here, you got to give Him the key to your life and He'll change your life. I want to tell you something. Keys are important. It's ownership. With a key, you get in. And a key, you get out. Keys are important. They're authority. Our authority. You know who else has a set of keys? Jesus. Revelations, it says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. He is the key holder. He has the keys. Amen. And He is in control. And He, I don't understand, but He has given us some keys. He's given us some keys to minister to this community, and not just this community anymore, but to Northeast Indiana. Sometimes you can't find too many that will do what God's called you to do. And they'll only go so far as the checkbook will allow. They will only go so far if they don't have to do it all themselves. But one thing I will tell you, you don't need all that. If you got Jesus, you don't need all that because God will supply it. Jesus holds the keys. Why do I have salvation today? Jesus holds the keys. I'm going to ask you something. I have a key too. My key is my life. I didn't do very good with my key. I don't do very good in my day with my key. I opened up the wrong doors. I closed good doors. I'm not very good about holding my key because the key is in my heart. But I know who is good with holding keys. I give my key to Jesus. As He gave us keys, I'd already given my key. That's why we have keys. Because many of you have given your key. We're trading keys. I can't handle the key that I was holding. I can't do it right without Him. And I get these keys, and you get these keys, because some of you have keys, and you're carrying some of these keys. The church has these keys, and guess what? We can't control, we don't know how to use these keys unless we've given the key that we have to Him. And He empowers us with His Holy Spirit to know how to turn a key. And I look at it and I say, what is He doing? Is He going to give us another key? Because another key is another bill. But another key is another salvation. Because not every church will come down to the road called brokenness. Not every church will come down to the street of helplessness. And I want to tell you something. The Women's Life House is a house of brokenness. But the Women with Children is a house of hopelessness. Because who wouldn't want to take in a woman and a child and their family? But there are some that have no one. You don't go to a place like that until you burnt your bridges or you just got no place else. You just got no place else to go. And sometimes I believe, as Carla said many times, that God has brought them here. But I want to tell you, did you give the key away? Are you still holding the key to your life? Because if you are, it truly don't belong to you. But you have authority to give it or to keep it. And I want to tell you tonight, Caleb fought the battle and said, I'm going to do this until I get to my mountain. Here it is. And I believe he didn't get the key there. He got another key there. His first key was back when he made the right decision. And God says there was found in him a different kind of spirit. A different spirit. So I'm asking you tonight, where is your key? Who's holding your key of life? It makes no sense that God has given us all those keys. You should see my key ring. My key ring is heavy. And I looked at it when I was putting this message together, because I was all over the place, and God says, the Holy Spirit says, you should see my key ring. I said, man, his key ring has got to be awesome. It's got to be so big, and all the keys that he's got. And I'm like, man, I want to see it one day. And one day we will. But right now, we got to keep on pushing. We got to keep on pushing. I don't know, guys. I just know this. He is walking amongst us. He is walking in between us.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen.
When you don't think he is, I'm thinking, listen, most churches, they start on Sunday morning, they got a little thing going on. And I'm not down on the church on Wednesday night, but I'm going to tell you something. God's good. I want to boast on for a minute. There's something going on every day here. Every day. And it may not just be here at New Life, but it's over at the soup kitchen. It's over the soup kitchen, it's over at the women's shelter. If it's not over there, it's over in Fort Wayne. They're doing something. Over in Columbia City, over there. You know, Bob's out doing the jail chaplaincy. He's got something else going on tomorrow afternoon. New Life, God's got it all over the place. And you know what it's all about? Ministering to broken people. Why did he put Columbia City with us? Because they love broken people. We're serving over there. There's brokenness there. God knows how to match us up. And there's keys. And who's holding your key? If you're holding on to it, I'm going to close with this. If you're holding on to that key, you know why you won't give it away? We would think selfishness. But I want to tell you, there's some bitterness holding it back. Anger holding it back. I'm talking about Christians. Look at Christians. Oh, jealousies, envy, worldliness, hidden sin. And the only way to do it is to give it freely to Jesus as he gave his life freely to you. I'm asking you. Who's got the key of your life? Because you won't get any other keys until you give this one away.
That's right.
Let's stand.